Okay, so Pete Dolan, I'm an Aleph. So we'll go through it, I think, a little bit quickly. The Gemara is now going to distinguish five cases in Halacha where there's a difference between a gachelet, which is the ember itself, and the shalhevet, which is the flame. And the fundamental distinction you'd understand is that in Halacha, what the Gemara is assuming here is that a gachelet is considered to exist halachically.
Okay.
Right? Davar sheyesh bo mamash. And a shalhevet is a davar she'ein bo mamash. Right? It doesn't really exist. It's ephemeral. And therefore, there are going to be five different halacha where, because it doesn't really exist, the shalhevet is not... there are halacha that apply to a gachelet, right, to the ember, that don't apply to the flame. So, chamisha dvarim nemru bo gachelet, v'chamisha b'shalhevet. So, one, gachelet shel hekdesh, mol in bav. If you have a gachelet, you have a an ember. How do they translate it? Ember, right? Ember, coal. An ember. I mean, the coal with the ember, right? Fine. If it belongs to Kodesh, so you violate Mi'ilah, right? If you use that coal, right? Meaning anything that belongs to Beit HaMikdash in general, you violate Mi'ilah. Vashalhevet, but if you would benefit just from the light, lo nanin v'lo molin. You aren't allowed to get hanat mi derabanan, right? As Rashi really quotes, based on the lechatchila mi derabanan einen, right? Meaning lechatchila, because it can't really be mi'ilah because it doesn't really exist. But you don't violate mi'ilah because it can't really be usher. Gachelet shel avodah zarah. What if you have a kol that was burnt for avodah zarah? Of avodah zarah. Avodah zarah was burnt, right? So this is actually a piece of avodah zarah. So the gachelet is still asur, right? The kol is still asur, asura, because of a desire is asur behana'a. And it doesn't matter when. Vishalhevet muteret, right? But if there was a flame, it would be permitted. Now, why? So the Gemara in Beitza, which is quoted by the Rashi Rilia, says, well, why is it that by hektish midar abanan goes there? And by the leftover avodah zarah, the light that comes from the flame of burnt avodah zarah, we're not even machmir midr abanan. Because he says, look, by kodesh, he says, afil midr abanan lo gazur ba, mishum avodah zarah mi'isa v'dila in sheminei, achim yifarish la b'perek mashilin. As Gemara says, because hektish, people aren't repulsed by avodah zarah, they are. Right? So avodah zarah, like, what's usher is usher, and beyond that, we don't need to be usher. No Jew is really attracted to using of the Zara. Kodesh is a different story. Three, Hamuder Hanami Chavero. If I say I swear I'm not benefiting from whatever, from Mordechai, so Asur Bigachalto, I can't use your coals, can't go to your barbecue. Mutar Bishalhavato. But it's mutter for me to benefit from your shall have it. Okay? Again, now this has to be a flame which is not connected to a coal, as we'll see, right? It has to be just a flame. Like on a wick or something. The fourth, Hamoti ad gachel el shur abim chayev. If I carry a coal on Shabbat, well, a coal exists, and therefore I'm chayev for carrying. The shall have it patur. If I, right? So like I, right, I carry just a burning wick, right, and meaning the wick itself doesn't have a shear that I'd be chayev on, right. So then I am patur because the only thing I'm carrying that would be kashir is the shalhevet, and the shalhevet itself doesn't really exist. The last, and this flips it, and that's why we bring in our sugya, is mevarchen al shalhevet, mevarchen al gachelet. However, when it comes to Havdalah, you make the bracha on flames and not on coals. Right? Because it's a bracha on a flame. It's a bracha on fire. And if I look at a coal, I go to my barbecue, right? Oh, boire moire, no, that's not how this works. Right? There needs to be the Gemara in Beitza Lametet as a sixth one, which is Tchumen. right, is that the general of the halacha is that the gachelet, so gachelet kiragle habaylim, meaning that if I haven't made an Erev Tchumen, so I'm only allowed to go to here, then that gachelet can only go to here, whereas if I own a flame, someone can take the flame past it. Good night. Good luck. Okay. Why doesn't quote it here? Interesting. But Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi b'shem Rav, lo chashot mevarchem. But if it's still, right, the coals are actually, there's fire coming out of it, right, like, you know, the beginning of a barbecue, right, you first, then you can, because there's fire. The point is only the embers that are just, the coals that are just hot, but don't actually have a flame, you can't make a bracha, there's no fire. But if there is a fire, then there's a fire. What's the problem? Rabbi Yochanan de Kartzon b'shem Rav Nachum bar Simai b'lvad haniktefet. It has to be that the flame is big enough that it would ignite something else. Right? That if something would touch it, it would ignite. Okay. Yalla. Tani. Goy shehidlik mi Yisrael, v'Yisrael shehidlik mi goy mivarchet. If a non-Jew lights a candle from a Jew, or a Jew lights a candle from a goy, you're allowed to use that fire for Havdalah. So the Gemara says, Nicha goy shehidlik mi Yisrael. I understand why if a non-Jew lights a flame from a Jewish flame, it's malacha because it's mutter because no malacha was done to the Jew keep Shabbos, and now the Jew lit a flame and the non-Jew lights from that flame. No Isser was done. This flame didn't violate Shabbos. So you're allowed to use it for Havdalah. But Yisrael shehidlik mi goy, right, why are you allowed to use when the Jew lights it from the non-Jews, because once you're saying that, right? If you're going to allow that, then you should allow even a goy from a goy. And we don't, right? Because we don't want a flame that, even though the goy isn't forbidden on Shabbos, we don't want a flame that was, you know, lit on Shabbos that, right? Which is still a flame of heter. So the Bavli just says, and the Charedim quotes it, Marfolda quoted, is that, well, yeah, but that's like too far of a gzera. Like, how often do Jews go to non-Jews to get their flame, blah, 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 blah. So, Ashkach, Tani, Goy, Migoy, in Varchen. In fact, we have a Breita that says that a Goy, who lights from a Goy, you cannot use. Rabbi Avahu B'Shem Yochanan, Mavu Shukulo Goyim Yisrael Echa Darbita Chaviyatam Yishama, or if you have a alleyway, where everyone who lives there is non-Jewish except for one family, which is Jewish, and you see candles, mevarchen aleh bishul oto Yisrael shetzav, you're allowed to make a bracha on it, on that flame that you see because of the Jew who is there. So what exactly does this mean? What is going on here? So first of all, so the Rosh Terilia just says this is being brought to tell you that this disagrees with the previous Breita. Right? The previous Breita says you can't use a flame by a non-Jew. And here it's saying, Upala, Kevin the Rov Goyim in Mevarchin Alav. Right? The point is, you can. Now that seems weird because that makes it sound like it's not because of the Jew. Right? It's because of the non-Jews. Right? So the Rosh Terilia is a bit of a hard read. Others say that no, the point is that we have a halacha called kavua, right? What's kavua? That whenever you have two things that are in place, even if there's a majority one way, what do we always treat it as? Kavua, kmechsa mechsa dami, right? So if you have, right, a piece of meat that comes from 10 stores and 9 of them are kosher, 1 is not kosher, you're allowed to eat it. But if you have 10 stores, 9 of which are kosher, 1 of which is not, and you walk into the store, you're not. Right, you're not allowed to rely on Rove, because since they're all in place and you're going into them, we treat it halachically as half and half. So we're saying, so some say that the reason is because it's kivilu kavua, which gives significance to the Jew's candle, out of proportion, to its actual statistical reality.
Ah, because since you walked into the store.
Exactly. Okay. This is a little bit weird. I happen to like the quote here from the Sefer HaMenorah, and the Yerachshai, a different one, which is no, it's very simple. You aren't looking at one house. You're seeing a bunch of candles. One of them is the Jews. The point is, it's saying that even though most of the fire that you see is from non-Jews. One of them is from a Jew. It's very simplistic, as you don't need... Exactly, that's all. As I see a lot of flame, and like, I'm allowed to look at it and say, I'm making it on the Jews, that's all. Right? I think that's actually very simple. What? Yeah, good. Okay. Rabbi Abahu b'shem Yochanan, ein mevarchen lol b'sam shelel shabbat b'tveria. You don't make besamim on the bracha of besamim on the besamim of Tveria on Friday, v'lo besamim shemotzei Shabbat tot b'tziporin, and not on motzei Shabbat in Tzipori, v'lo besamim she or erev Shabbat, right, or the night of Friday b'tziporin she'ena nasun ela l'davar acher, because all of these flames are not made for besamim. So what was that? So the point is that, right, that you can only make a bracha b'sam if it's made to smell good. So in Tveria on Erev Shabbat, they would make these like incense things in order to like to perfume the clothes, and therefore, right, they would like, right, you know, the way sometimes you put like people have like whatever fabric softener or whatever that also has a scent. So they would do that. Good. Correct, but it's not to smell it itself. It's to sell when it's batel into the clothes. Exactly, and then it's in the clothes, and you don't make it then because it doesn't have a metziyah anymore. It doesn't have a reality. On Motzei Shabbat, they would do it k'dei lashivet hanefesh min hatzar, for the pain that they use from the ibud neshama, which is sort of weird because that is why we do it, but okay. Oh, I'm sorry. No, on Motzei Shabbat, it was also the kalim, right? Meaning they would put the smell in the kalim to make themselves, feel better. And in Syria, they did this on Thursday night. But the point is that in each of these, they're not making it, right? The way the Muslim version say it is you have to make it something that is made for a smell itself and not to imbue like a perfume into something else. And in all these cases, that's why they lit it and you can't do it. Okay. Bilal and Arab, now it goes back to Mishnah.
Case, would you be able to use ground up spices like sold for kitchen use though?
Yeah, you could do that, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
But not like, I assume not like fabric softener. Right? You couldn't open a thing. You know, like all those weird ads. You know, I don't know, maybe it's a thing in Israel, but
it's a thing.
You know, like people are like smelling. I remember this ad that would pop up on YouTube, right? I like to save space in my phone. I just keep off memory on everything, like history.
Yeah.
Right. So I just get, you know, the ads of like whatever because I'm in Israel, right? So it's randomly Arab and randomly whatever. I don't know because, you know, I'm on the border, right? So like, but like for a while it was this thing that they had introduced a new scent into one of the laundry. Something, and it was like this model who goes around sniffing people's clothes. I'm right, which is I'm addicted to the smell. It's like really odd, right? So like that, very weird. Okay, that. You're not allowed to make the bracha on the candle or some of the dead. What does that mean? It's when you put it above the mate. Basically, like Febreze, right? It's like, okay, there's a dead body rotting in here. We just put something there. That is not for good smell. That's because I just can't smell rotting flesh. But if you put it in front, that would be fine because that actually is made for the kavod of the people who are coming to the funeral. And that's fine. The Ber Halacha has an interesting discussion of fire that's originally made l'kavod, and then you end up using it for actual light, right? So like you lit a candle in the shul originally for kavod, I don't know, there are other lights on, right? And then, you know, the other lights on, you want to use it. So he leans in on saying that it's probably fine because that happens all the time, right? Like, so I originally was kavod and now I need it. Now I'm using it for light, but then he's like, man, maybe you should be machmir and blow it out and relight it. Okay. Isn't that the same thing? So he says, no, tiftar bavodazara shel Yisrael. The point is, you can't use it if it's a bavodazara of a Jew. Either. Okay. Ein mevarchen. The Rosh Elio would suggest a chiddush here, which is very interesting, which is that maybe the chiddush is that even if it's a Jew who doesn't really believe in Avodah Zarah, right? In ma'am in bo elo kedei la'totan, right? He's like worshiping it. Exactly. So even there, where it's not like mamish Avodah Zarah. Yeah, exactly. Very interesting. Anyways, I wonder if he actually was... Is it around the right time? I don't know. I wonder if he has that in mind. Anyways. So you're not allowed to make a bracha on the light until you get hana'ah from the light. So Darish Rabbi Zeira Ber Rabbi Avahu Vayar Elokim et Aor Kitov V'achagach V'avdel Elokim Ben Aor Ben Achosha. How do we know? Because God separates the light from the good, and then he says, and then he, sorry, he sees it, and then he separates the light from the darkness. You see, you have to see it, and then you can separate it, right? To Remez, it's like God. Okay, great. Now we're going to give a bunch of agadata, basically, on Havdalot. So, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Omer, what does Havdalah mean? Hivdilu lo, it doesn't mean separate, it means designate. Right? That God designated the light. Right, for himself. Right? No, he's... The Vayavdel Kimeta Or. Right, that on God, right? He separated it. Now, what does that mean? Right, so obviously he says, what does that mean? God doesn't need light, right? What is this anthropomorphizing you're going on? Right, so the Mefarshim say, well, the Gemara elsewhere says that with the light of from here, Adam could see from one end of the world to the other. So maybe that shows it's more like a spiritual knowledge thing, right? That God, right, it's metaphorical. Okay. Rabbanan Amrin, Rabbanan seem to say it's more physical, spiritual, I don't know, but if Dilu la Tzadikim la Tzidlafo, God set aside this light for the Tzadikim, and in other Midrashim, right, God hides it away for them because he doesn't want the Anshe Dor HaMabul, right, to take advantage of the spiritual powers of this light. And Amr Brachia Kach Darshu Shnei Gedolei Olam, Rabbi Yochanan Rishim Ben Lakish, Vayavdel Elokim, Avdala Vadai, they say no, Avdala means Avdala. Separation. And what does that mean? What's a mashal? A king had two officers. They both said, I want to work during the day. Kara Larishon. So he said, fine. Today, right? Sundays is yours. Sorry. And he said, no, that's not going to work. One of you work during the day. He's saying he told day, he told light, work during the day, and he told darkness, work at night. And that's what God meant in Eov, in case you didn't understand. Did you command the light and tell him, right, tell the day his place. Yeah. So did you tell him, right, did you know where the light of the Sheshet Mebreshet was hidden? Now, according to many Mepharshim, right, these are two different things, right? It's the first, right, the Penimocha says, right? It's first, did you give commands to the day? I didn't think so. And the second is, did you hide the magic light from the Sheshet Mebreshet? I don't think so. Now you have it all clear to you. I will explain it to you. Yotzer Orobore Choshech Ose Shalom. Mishiatran Ose Shalom Benehen. He said, what's the proof for the Yeshayahu? He says that it creates light and darkness and he makes peace. He says, yes, by telling them you have a job, you work during the day, you work at night, he made peace between light and darkness. Great. Okay. We are really going to run through the next part because it's a little bit painful. In Mevarcha Narsho to Le'oro, you don't make the bracha on the candle until you are Ye'otu Le'oro, which is you benefit. For Rav Amar Ye'otu, Shmuel Amar Ye'otu. Rav said it's spelled with an Aleph, Shmuel says with an Ayin. Shman Amar Ye'otu, the one who says it's with an Aleph, is Ach Be'zot Ne'ot Lachem. It's from Breishit where it says, with this it'll be Na'et to you. Right? You will benefit from it. Mandamar ye otu, the one that says it's ye otu with an ayin, la dad la ut et yaif davar. It's from Yeshayahu, You will know what time it is from eight. Ayin, right? From an eight, from time. Okay? Taman taninan. And once we're talking about Aleph, Ayin switches, so we get the following. Ketzen me'abrin et ha'arim. How do you set up a Tchum Shabbat to extend, right, the city? So Rav Omer me'abrin with an Aleph, Ishmael Omer me'abrin be'ayin. Why? Because you're extending the city. So Man Amar me'abrin, the one who says with Aleph is Mosifin lo Aver. It comes from the word of you're adding a limb to the city. Uman Amar me'abrin, the one who says with an ayin, ki'isha ubara, you're making it pregnant from ubar, right? Either way, you're making it bigger. Taman taniyana, nothing. Lifnei Eidayen Shel Goyim. The beginning of Avodah Zarah talks about the holidays of the non-Jews. Now, how do you spell holidays with an aleph or an ayin? Rav Amar Eidayen, Shmuel Amar Eidayen. Rav says with an ayin, Shmuel says with an aleph. Man the Amar Eidayen, if it's with an aleph, ki karov Yom Eidam, because Yom Eidam is the day of their destruction, right? And their holidays are their day of their destruction. Uman demar aydehen, the one who says with an ayin, is ve'aydehem hema ba'yiru ba'yidu l'man yevoshu. It is their testimony. Ma'amekayin Shmuel time in the Rav. Okay, so why didn't... Now on the third one, the Gemara says, why didn't Shmuel like what Rav said? So he says, ve'aydehem hema she'enanin l'vayeshet ovden l'yom eidam. You're right, it means that they will eventually like testify and embarrass their worshippers in the future. Okay, great. Ein mevarchen al haner ad sheyotu l'aro. Amar Rav Yehuda b'shem Yishmuel k'deshu nashim tovot l'aro. How much light do you need? So possibility one is you need to be able to knit. Amar Rav Yochanan k'deshu eino roe ma bakos u ma bikara. You need the enough light. More, you need to be able to tell the difference between what's in your cup and your bowl. Which apparently needs more light. You even need more light, which is the ability to tell the difference between two different coins. Now, there is yet another girsa in the Yerushalmi, which we don't have, but the Rishonim did, which was, and this is probably what you know the most, is to know to be able to see the difference between your fingernail and the skin. And that's where the minna comes from to do this. So good. Then what is the rationale for it? So one version of this is what? Is the Midrash that Adam HaRishon was covered, that right when he was first born, he was covered in nails, right? And then that right protective element was removed from him. Right, was removed from him when he sinned. And then in Motzei Shabbos, when the fire was created, and he saw that he still had some nails, he celebrated that he had some of this, like, this protective thing left on him. So it might also have symbolic meaning. But you've heard versions of this, right? Oh, okay. But that's what it comes from. I'll just read you one second. Sorry. I just want to read you just Mishnah Brura. One second. Reish Tzadichet. I really should just bring the Mishnah Berurah with me. It's easier than trying to pull it up when I need it. So Shulchan Aruch says, Noagim listakeb b'kore yadayim v'tzi parnayim. The minhag is to look at your hands and your nails. The Ramah says, V'yesh l'rop b'tzi parnayad yamim lechozak kod b'yad small. The minhag, you should look at the right hand and hold the wine with your left. V'yesh l'kfovet asvot l'toch hayad. Shazro b'tzi parnayim, right? You do this, right? So you can see it. Ima kapot v'arachatz. You can see your finger and the nails at the same time. I'm sure you've seen people do this. Right? Well, that's where it comes from. This is not... why is this? So one, Mishnah Berurah just says, well, this is a practical way of seeing B'matbeah L'matbeah, because it's similar. Right? It's a similar amount of light that you need to see the difference between two coins is the amount you would have to see. But this amount, right? So you want to do it. Right? That's one. V'ojim and Simen Bracha. He says the other is maybe it's a Simen Bracha, because in parvarava olam, right, nails keep growing, right? No matter how old you get, even when you stop growing, your nails keep growing. So maybe it is a siman to purvu, right? Or there's this midrashic idea. Okay. So Tani Rabbi Oshaya afilu triklin eser al eser mivarchin. Even if you are far away, you're in a palace, a huge palace or whatever, which is 10 amot by 10 amot, that's enough. Meaning that this shita seems to disagree, that you don't need mamish ana. You just need, the fire can contribute that amount of ana, even if you are not there. Zira makrev kume botzina, amrun le tamidav revi mat machmer alina. Rav would come right up to the flame, and they would say, why are you being so machmer? Vatani rosh afil treklin eser leser mevarachin. You don't need to see it. However, Shulchan Aruch, as we just read, seems to not pass in this way, and seems to say that, no, you need practical hana'ah. I feel like, should we just stop and do the mission tomorrow? Yeah, let's stop here. Okay, fine, let's stop there.